You've heard it many times before. Your most important asset in your company is your people. Yet, most companies struggle with hiring and promoting the very best people at every salary level. This, Bradford Smart suggests, is what separates the highest performing companies from mediocre companies. He suggests that there are three huge problems. Number one, dishonesty by weak candidates who get away with lying on their resumes and faking it in interviews. Number two, insufficient information uncovered during the interview process that allows candidates to be selective in what they share about themselves. And number three, unable to verify what information is uncovered because most reference checks are useless. Fortunately, there's a cure, and it's called top grading. Follow this process, and Smart suggests that you'll quadruple your hiring success and ability to spot and promote high performers. Join us for the next 10 minutes as we explore the 12 top grading hiring steps and how you can use them. Top grading myths. Before we get to the steps, let's quickly review the top three myths about top grading so that you don't accidentally dismiss some of the information below as irrelevant to your business or skip this summary altogether. First, top grading is not only for big companies. This is a hiring process that can work inside of companies of all shapes and sizes. Second, top grading is not about getting rid of C players. Ideally, Smart suggests, underperformers will fire themselves for failing to accomplish what they committed to. Third, top grading is not about yank and rank. Jack Welch famously had his managers force rank all of their employees each year and fire the bottom 10% of performers. This is not what top grading is about. Now that we've covered what top grading is not, let's move on to what top grading is. What is top grading? Top grading is about filling at least 75% of the positions in your organization with A players. You do this by hiring and promoting the people who turn out to be high performers at least 75% of the time. Smart says at least 75% because no CEO or manager gets there and says, well, that's good enough. Which brings us to the question of what an A player actually is. Smart defines it as someone in the top 10% of the talent pool available. B players make up the next 25% of talent available, and C players make up the bottom 65%. The most important factor when it comes to availability is compensation level, meaning you want to find the A players for the particular role you are hiring and at the compensation level you are offering. Rather than paying more for A players, Smart suggests you focus on getting A players for every job with the salary you can afford. The most important competency of an A player is resourcefulness, which means they get much more done than B or C players with the same amount of resources available to them. It's a combination of energy, passion, and analytical skills all wrapped into one. Why top grade? There are plenty of reasons why you should consider following the top grading process. Here are a few of them. In a team full of Bs and Cs, your A players will spend too much time preventing and fixing problems of low performers. Top grading companies get disproportionately better talent for the money they spend. And A players are talent magnets. The key to top grading, the torque technique. The key concept that makes the entire top grading process work so well is the torque technique. It's your truth serum for interviews. It stands for threat of reference check. And it lets your candidates know at each step of the hiring process that the final step in the process is for them to arrange personal reference calls with their former bosses. There are two main benefits of this technique. First, it scares away C players, saving you a lot of time and energy during the interview process. Second, it ensures that everything they tell you throughout the interview process will be as close to the truth as you're going to get, because they'll understand that you'll be fact-checking everything along the way. Now that we've got that out of the way, let's move into the steps. Step number one, measure your baseline success hiring and promoting people and your costs of mishires. The first step in the top grading process is to determine your baseline for hiring success. Start with the people you've hired over the past 3 years and then label them as a high performer or a mishire. From there, estimate the percentage of your past hires that are top performers and the percentage of your past hires that you'd classify as mishires. Next, complete the exercise again for the people you've promoted over the last few years. Then, to bring the pain of your hiring mistakes home, calculate the cost of these bad decisions based on the number of hours you've wasted on the mishires, along with the costs of replacing them. The research Smart has done shows that misfires cause an average of 300 additional hours worked on top of the cost of finding their replacement. Now that you know the actual cost of poor hiring practices, you'll be much more likely to do something about it. Step number two, create a clear job scoreboard, not a vague job description. The next step is to create a job scoreboard so that everybody knows what an A player performance looks like. It should include the measurable accountables for the first year, the numbers they need to achieve, and the ratings that they should achieve in core competencies. When it comes to the core competencies for the job, Smart suggests that most people list 5 to 10, when in reality, there should be up to 50, especially for management jobs. He also suggests that you should color code them in the following way based on how easy they are to change through coaching, training, and experience. Green equals relatively easy to change, yellow equals hard but doable, and red equals very difficult to change. This allows you to identify the competencies you absolutely need to see demonstrated before someone is hired, and determine which competencies can be trained after they are on board. Step number three, recruit from your networks. Now that you have your job scorecard, you're ready to start recruiting. The most effective and cost-efficient way to do this is to recruit from your networks of high performers that you and your team know personally. There are two types of networks. The first network is the A players that you've worked with. The second network are the connectors that you know can introduce you to more A players. Smart suggests that every manager on your team build and maintain lists that contain at least 20 A players and 10 connectors. In fact, he suggests that this should itself become a job scoreboard accountability. To motivate your team to keep on top of it, pay bounties when they refer high performers. Step number four, screen candidates with the top grading career history form and top grading snapshot. C players know how to write A player resumes, so they are mostly a waste of your time when it comes to identifying high performers. The top grading career history form solves this problem by including information that a resume doesn't include, like full compensation history, the true reasons for leaving previous jobs, estimates of boss ratings for performance, likes and dislikes, honest self-ratings of competencies, and a self-appraisal. Those types of questions, along with the threat of reference check, cuts through the clutter by providing honest, complete, and verifiable information. Step number five, conduct telephone screening interviews. The next step, rather than doing an in-person interview, is to do a telephone interview. Why? Because you can usually weed out weak performers quickly over the phone, saving you hours of time for each job you are hiring for. There are seven steps for doing this well. Number one, review the top grading career history form. Number two, tell the candidate that you'd like to ask them some questions and tell them you'll be asking them to arrange personal reference calls with former bosses. Number three, describe your company and the position. Number four, invite them to ask questions about the job. Number five, for their last two jobs, ask them about success, failures, their boss's appraisal of performance, and their reasons for leaving. Six, ask two questions each for three critical competencies. And seven, if you're going to go through to the next step, explain the rest of the hiring process. Step number six, conduct competency interviews. In this step, you'll be creating a competency interview guide. It includes four questions about each competency. Remember, management jobs should include up to 50 competencies, along with culture fit questions. To give you a flavor of what these questions might look like, here are two competency questions for change leadership. Number one, in what specific ways have you changed an organization the most in terms of direction, results, or policies? Number two, what is an example in which you think you could have done a better job in change management? The goals of this interview step are to determine whether or not you want to continue the process with the candidate and to allow them to ask further questions. A players will always have a lot of questions. Step seven, conduct tandem top grading interviews. The top grading interview, which uses a trained tandem partner setup, is the most powerful hiring tool in the entire system. You use two interviewers instead of one because it helps get insights from different points of view, tones down individual biases, and helps ask better questions. There's one primary interviewer who asks most of the questions and a secondary interviewer who makes most of the notes. It's a chronological interview starting with the candidate's school years, progressing through the first job all the way to the present moment. The interview typically takes 3 hours to complete, for a management position that is, which is why the previous weeding out steps are so important. The 3 hours should look roughly like the following. Opening chit chat for 10 minutes. Education for 20 minutes. Work history for 155 minutes. Plans and goals for 10 minutes. Self-appraisal for 15 minutes. And finally, competency questions for 30 minutes. For more detail into what goes into this part of the process, the book includes an interview guide. Step number 8, interviewers give each other feedback. Immediately after the interview is over, take a few minutes with your interview partner to get and give feedback. Specifically, using the interview guide you develop on your own, or using the one provided in the book, go through each step of the interview and find areas where you could have done a better job. Smart suggests that you do this because most people are not good at interviewing, and so part of the top grading process is to be deliberate at getting better at it. Step number 9, write a draft executive summary. After you're done giving each other feedback, it's time to write an executive summary by reviewing your notes and rating the candidate on the competencies in the job scorecard. Most people jump to doing the reference checks before writing any kind of reports, but Smart suggests that would be a mistake for a number of reasons. The analysis sometimes leads to asking more questions before going on to reference checks. The analysis you'll do when writing the summary will help you determine which reference checks you'll be asking for them to arrange, and the analysis will help prepare you for which specifics you'll probe the reference check about. To help you perform the best possible analysis of the candidate information, here are some key principles that you'll want to keep in mind. First, look for some patterns. The patterns you identify across their career and across 50 competencies is what will allow you to see where they'll likely be in the next 3 years. Second, assume that at some point, strengths become weaknesses, because in times of pressure, we tend to overuse them. And three, understand that recent past behavior is the best predictor of behavior in the near future. If you decide you want to move forward to the next step after you've created your executive summary, ask the candidate to set them up. Step 10, conduct the reference calls. Ideally, you'll do the reference calls with all of their bosses from the last decade, and also one or two people from the current place of employment. Here are some of the questions you'll want to make sure you cover. What are the candidate's strengths and weaker points? How would you rate their overall performance? Why did they leave? After telling them about the job they're applying for, how do you think they'll fit in such a job? What would be your advice to me for how I could best manage them? After doing all the calls and finalizing your executive summary, decide whether or not you want to give them an offer. If they accept, you're on to the next step. Step 11, coach your new hire or promotion. Congratulations, you've hired yourself an A player. Now that they're on the team, it's time to start coaching them. As Smart points out, A players not only accept immediate coaching and feedback, they expect it. When this coaching and feedback is delayed, two big problems arise. If they feel like they're not getting the support they need during the onboarding, they may give up and quit. And also, you delay their productivity and development. There are a few simple things you can do in order to make sure the relationship starts off on the right foot. Number one, review your executive summary with them, going over every strength, weak point, and every developmental suggestion you made. Number two, ask them to create an individual development plan based on your recommendations. And three, ensure that the individual development plan includes quarterly reviews. Step number 12, annually measure your top grading success. Finally, this step closes the loop on the top grading process by measuring the hiring success and the cost of mishires. In particular, if top grading isn't used across your organization, you'll want to compare the instances where it was used against the instances where it wasn't used. If your experience is like most companies, you'll find a dramatic increase in your success ratio and a dramatic decrease in costs from mishires. So in conclusion, top grading is a lot of work, and it might even seem like overkill if you're used to freewheeling the hiring process. However, as Smart points out, even if you only create a job scorecard, use the top grading career history form, do the starter top grading interview, and do the reference checks, you'll be much further ahead and hire more top performers than you ever have before.